We're going money back mad here at Paddy Power. We're offering money back as a free bet on all losing goal scorer, what odds Paddy, and correct score bets on selected games. Check our app today for more information. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post World Cup postcast. We have reached the semi-finals. There were four, and one of them is England. It's an all-European lineup for the semis that take place on Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm Bruce Millington, and I'm delighted to be joined by Mark Langdon and Dan Childs from the Racing Post football desk, as well as Paddy Power's Jason Murphy. We've got all the odds on the last two semi-finals. We'll find out who's going to be contesting Sunday's final and see if there's any value left on any of the other specials. First up, though, Mark, how are you lasting the trip? It's exhausting, isn't it?
Yeah, I was pretty hammered on Saturday, fair to say. Yeah,
that wasn't you on that ambulance, was it?
No, it wasn't. Nearly, I thought at one stage I might have needed an ambulance, but no, it wasn't. I was a football fan before as a punter, so England getting to the semi-final just brings back, you know, great childhood memories, really, of Italia 90 and how much I enjoyed that tournament.
How old were you in Italia 90?
I was sort of about 8 or 9.
But
it was sort of very impressionable as a Tottenham fan. Gazza and Lineker in that team. It was, it was the first World Cup I can remember. And to see what looks like a really nice group in the semi-finals, yeah, it just got to me a little bit and I just got hammered on Saturday.
Fair enough, mate. We're all getting emotional, aren't
I mean, Chris Waddle.
Excuse us, Jason. Chris Waddle was crying on radio.
It's amazing. Yeah, it is.
Absolutely incredible. Dan, are you making it pay?
I wouldn't say making it pay. I'm more going along with the emotional kind of ride of it now. I mean, like Mark said, I was 13 at the Italia 90, and that's probably the World Cup I remember more than any other. And I just think it's fantastic that we are where we are, and there's a real chance now.
And I'll tell you what's really nice, isn't it? Sharing it with your kids. That everyone's getting into it, aren't they? Yeah. You know, you've both got young sons, but they're absolutely loving it, aren't they?
My daughter was singing "It's Coming Home" on Sunday, and then I picked her up from the Little Mix concert. There's just all these little sort of, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 9-year-olds singing "It's Coming Home," sort of walking down the street. Yeah, it's,
Little Mix done a cover of it.
They haven't yet. They did. Apparently, I didn't go to. I only sort of picked them up from the concert. She did a shout out for what a great summer. I said she. One of them did a shout out for what a great summer it's been, and England are in the semi final. So yeah, it's.
Was it the one who goes out with the ox? Because I bet he's miserable.
I think, that's an important part of it, really, that they haven't had any key injuries. I know Oxlade-Chamberlain, would have been in the squad, and the way Dele Alli's not started particularly well, he could have been in the team. But you don't get too many opportunities where you've got such a clean run from the injuries point of view, and you've got to make it pay. Whoa, in 4 years' time, Kane could be injured or whatever, so you just got to make it now.
Yeah. Okay, let's put the euphoria to one side and go across to Dublin and Jason Murphy. Jason, are you hating every minute of this England charge?
Definitely jealous. Hate's a strong word, but absolutely jealous of the run that England are on. They've got a lucky side of the draw, let's be honest about that.
Have they ever? So with your kind of neutral perspective on it, I mean, do you take the view that this is just an absurd run of luck, or are England impressing you in any way?
They're not impressing. You know, they got out of jail, and what an early time to play to get out of jail card against Tunisia. Then the Belgium game doesn't count. Panama crumbled. Colombia were missing Rodriguez, very defensive. And then England's, their last 13 shots, 10 of them have been goals. I mean, they're just getting a serious rub of the green at the moment. Now, long may it continue. Best of luck to them. But I don't see them going all the way, unfortunately.
Okay, now what's the latest outright betting on the World Cup from Paddy Power then, Jason?
Yeah, so France, we have a Favs at the moment at 2-1. We've England 5-2. We've Belgium 11-4 and Croatia at 9-2.
Okay, lads, on the outright then, obviously we'll get your thoughts on the four teams in greater detail, but just quickly, Mark, is there any value left on the outright?
It feels like that first semi-final is almost the World Cup final. I'd be surprised if they lost it. What I would say is that if you have a look at the qualify betting against the outright odds, I mean, Croatia-England seen as a very tight semi-final. So, I mean, you could maybe argue that, that there probably shouldn't be such a big disparity, maybe factoring in the liabilities, which are becoming quite serious for the bookmakers. But no, I would expect the winner of that first semi to do it. And therefore, I'd be edging towards France, not with any great strength, but yeah, maybe France, but I wouldn't say there's any massive value left in it, Bruce. No.
What about you, Dan?
I would edge towards France, but more because I fancy him quite strongly in the first semi-final, which I'll go on to later. But
Good luck with your outright, Bruce.
I do think that certainly if Belgium get to the final, having had to go through Brazil, and then if they get through France, you know, how much with a turnaround are they going to have left for the final? I would just throw that out there as
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Right then, what about Golden Boot? Harry Kane's got this buttoned up, hasn't he, Jason?
Yeah, it's been done and dusted, really. Harry Kane, 1-8. Lukaku, 8-1. You can still get Griezmann at 25s and Mbappe's at 33s. But I think, like, really, Lukaku there, he should have won it himself. If he stays on the pitch against Tunisia, he gets another two there. How he didn't score two against Japan, I don't know. It should be more of a race, but I think Harry Kane has it now.
I just sensed from your tone of voice there that you might have backed Lukaku, Jason. Am I right?
Just a small point.
Okay, well, listen, one really interesting market that's very much alive and kicking is the Golden Ball, obviously the player of the tournament. What's the latest betting there, Jason?
Yeah, so we have Mbappe, joint favourite with Harry Kane, both at 3-1. You have Hazard there at 9-2. There's a bit bigger prices than De Bruyne, 8-1. Luka Modric, 9-1. Griezmann, 12-1. Lukaku there at 14s. And one that was tipped up by one of the lads on the floor a while back, N'Golo Kante, we have him there at 25s. There's still 40s out there on him. But he got the player of the season there when Leicester won the title as well. And if France go all the way, maybe he might get a shout.
That's interesting. You did that thing that everyone does. Everyone says Luka Modric. No one just calls him Modric. It's really weird. It's as if there's like 8 Modrics in this team. Every commentator, Modric.
It's the respect for how brilliant he is.
Is that it? I don't know what it is. It's very, very strange. But it's one of those things that's got in my head now. And every time they say it, I'm like, just say Modric. Who's going to be the player of the tournament, Lando?
Well, I think this is really, really interesting because you'd imagine that the France-Belgium game could decide it. I mean, if Hazard plays as well as what he did in that quarter final, then
it was unbelievable.
He was so good. I mean, he was so brave on the ball. I think, you know, the bravery, you know, you get the Terry Butcher bravery, and then you get the Hazard one where, you know, you just keep picking it up and just keep taking people on. I thought he was incredible, actually, for Belgium. Really led the team brilliantly.
He basically killed that last 10 minutes,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was fantastic. I mean, I think Modric as...
Which one?
Was has carried Croatia this far. And we've seen, with someone like Diego Forlan, if you carry an outsider, even to the semis. So, I mean, if I was going again, it maybe be Modric, just because he may not need to win it. I don't like Harry Kane in this market. I mean, for all that it looks like he's going to win the Golden Boot... you know, he's done well, but I don't think there's been that headline kind of Mbappe-style moment in a game where he's, you know, really come to life and destroyed a team. So I'd be maybe looking at Hazard and Modric, but...
never mind all this. You've been too modest. What price did you back Mbappe at? What price did you tip him at?
Yeah, I think maybe tipped him at 40s and backed him at 33s maybe, brilliant. But... I don't know. I feel like if France win it, it could be a split vote between a few of their players. Mm. But hopefully Mbappe wins, although I'm not overly confident about him.
That's a great shout. That Dan, what about your view?
I would echo the Luka Modric tip. I just think that the split vote thing is an interesting one there because France have got a couple of contenders with Mbappe, Griezmann, Belgium. De Bruyne is quite up in the market as well, and I don't think you can underestimate the if he takes Croatia to the final. I mean, for the nation of Croatia, I mean, what is it, 3 to 4 million people? It's absolutely massive, and he is their standout player by a mile, and you don't necessarily have to win it. I looked back at the history of this, and often it's a losing finalist I think Messi got it, didn't he, last time? So
To need to get to the final, though, don't you? I know Forlan
won it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but not necessarily win it. Yeah. So if he takes them to the final, if he runs a game against England and they get to the final, I think he's got a great chance, and 9-1 looks
good. Okay, and finally, your moment of the quarter final. Jason, we'll start with you.
Oh, good question, that. They're all very good, I think.
Well, while you're thinking, lads, I'm going to give you Kevin De Bruyne and that shot where, if you look at the slow motion, I love those shots where the panel of the ball doesn't rotate, it just stays. And it was like a laser. It was absolutely superb. Loved that.
A lot of praise, isn't there, for the ball? It stays hit and stays true. I think we've seen that quite often.
And you haven't heard that many goalies saying it moves, have you?
No.
Although you think the Uruguay fella might.
It does stay. It stays very true. I mean, Pavard's goal in the last 16. Yeah, it is a good ball.
It's a beauty. Okay, Jason, moment of the quarters.
I'm gonna say that actually that was one of that made me stand up out of my seat. And just to add to it as well, what added to the moment was it was an unbelievable run by Lukaku. Like you haven't
Wasn't
seen
it?
Him do that
Amazing.
All season. But the best thing about it was when he fell, he stayed down, so De Bruyne had no choice but to shoot. that was a quality moment. That's one brilliant. Of the highlight reels, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Love that one, Lango.
That Smolov's missed penalty. I mean, that Panenka was useless. Oh, I mean, Subasic had the chance to dive and get back up. But I mean, I'm going to support him now. When Dele Alli scored, because he hasn't had a good tournament, I think there's a big chance he could have got dropped actually for the semi final. That goal probably keeps his place.
Yeah, and Daniel?
De Bruyne was my top moment, but I'd just give a mention as well to Coutinho. I thought Coutinho's pass, I know they lost the game, Brazil, but I thought it was such a brilliant, brilliant pass under the circumstances for their goal.
Excellent. Yeah. It's been absolutely magical, and we will look at the semi finals next.
We're going money back mad here at Paddy Power. We're offering money back as a free bet on all losing goalscorer, what odds Paddy, and correct score bets on selected games. Check our app today for more information. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18+.
Okay, then, let's look at the semis. The first one takes place at 7 o'clock in St. Petersburg on Tuesday. It's France versus Belgium. Arguably, this should be the final. Two outstanding teams. What's the latest betting from Paddy Power, Jason?
Yeah, so France will go off favourite at 6-4, Belgium 2-1, and the draw 21-10. To qualify, France will be 8-11 or 11-10 Belgium.
Okay, it's very close now, isn't it? Dan, you can start. Who are you going to go for?
I'm going to go for France. I mean, with my England out, and I would think England have a better chance against Belgium, so I'll be cheering on Belgium. But I think France are going to have more left in the tank. I thought the Uruguay game was lucky in a way that Cavani was injured, made the task a lot easier. I mean, Uruguay were very, really just resorted to dirty tactics for a lot of the game. But France, they were a bit like England against Sweden. They started off nervously first 20 minutes, and once they settled into the game, got in front, I thought they managed the game really, really well and could have won by more. I think Belgium were fantastic against, I mean, you could probably the game of the tournament, I think that game against Brazil. But they also did ride their luck a little bit at times as well. Brazilian finishing at times when Augusto went through, I thought that was, you thought all ends up he was going to score. Great save from Courtois at the end, and the penalty decision that Jesus didn't get. I mean, I still, can't really.
Well, the ball had gone out of play.
Contact was made. I thought it was a poor decision. So I just think little moments went their way. I mean, you can read too much into shot counts, and Belgium did play well, but it was a 27-9 shot count. So I just think that, and are they going to be able to play that well again? 4 days later, as I say, France, I don't think have produced maybe their best yet. I mean, against Argentina, maybe they found a little bit. I mean, the Mbappe goal was fantastic, one of the goals of the tournament. But I think the best is maybe yet to come from them, and their pace, I think, as well. I think Belgian defence is susceptible to pace. I think Griezmann and Mbappe could kill them.
Mark, do you think Deschamps got his team selection right? Because he's arguably got one of the hardest jobs of getting a 23 down to an 11, hasn't he? There's so much talent there, hasn't he?
Yeah, I'm not sure he has all the time. I mean, there's a lot of question marks about Giroud because he's barely touching the ball for them. But, Givash and Dugarry have been mentioned as, people that have done well for France in terms of the team. I think that Griezmann enjoys playing with Giroud. I thought they missed Matuidi a little bit because he was really good against Argentina, and they can play becomes two formations because he was stuck between a 4-3-3 and a 4-2-3-1, and he's ended up now where he plays Matuidi on the left in the three. It's like a 4-3-3 when they haven't got the ball, and then it can rotate around, and I think that gives Pogba a bit more license to go forward because Matuidi just sits in there with Kante, albeit from a wider position. I was looking at this game thinking both teams to score because you're thinking World Cup semi-final, it'll be tight. But I don't think Belgium can play that way. I mean, Dan mentioned the shot count. The expected goals from Belgium, Brazil was 2.5 to 1.5. And that's quite a lot to concede, really, from Belgium's point of view. They conceded twice to Tunisia. They conceded twice to Japan. Meunier suspended. I know you're not a big fan.
Result.
I know you're not a big fan of him, but they haven't got anybody else to play.
Well, I mean, weren't they? Because they've done this for a while, haven't they? They've played those four big name centre backs and just kind of said, "Look, just form a wall." And
I just think if you move Alderweireld out to the right, you're taking arguably your best centre half away from that key position.
Yeah, but can't Vinny and Vermaelen look after Giroud to an extent.
Yeah, but maybe not Mbappe running from wide and Griezmann running from deep. That would be the concern, I think Dan
was
mentioning.
That's the big battle for me here, isn't it? The reformed, the remoulded Belgian defence against this really fluid France.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll see as well, because I mean, France conceded 3 goals to Argentina, but I don't think they actually give up that many chances in the game. Di Maria's goal was just incredible, and then there was a deflection, and then the third one came, what, 92nd, 93rd minute, and they were maybe posing a little bit, France. But I mean, 12 of Belgium's last 15 matches have been over 2.5 goals. They've got that Hazard, De Bruyne, and Lukaku front three. I think they'll test France. Struggling to pick a winner. Like I said, both teams to score, it's about 17-20, I think, around about that price. And I mean, for I know it's a World Cup semi-final, but I just think the way that Belgium are, I don't think they'll play any differently.
Yeah, I like that.
I just thought Belgium, one of the reasons they hurt Brazil so much was because of Casemiro being out and not being able to protect that back four. And France have got one of the best players in the tournament at that job in Kante.
Yeah, fair enough. Jason, what's your verdict?
Yeah, the boys have it well covered there, really. I think France against Uruguay, it wasn't their best performance. The controlled possession, it wasn't very flash, and it was a goalkeeping error that kind of sealed the game for them. And Godin missed an absolute sitter in the first half as well that should have levelled the game. They got through against a poor Argentinian side as well on the day, so I'm still not fully convinced by France and what their best team is, especially up front. Personally, I'd like to see Griezmann up top. Griezmann and Giroud, I don't think worked that well against Australia. Like, Griezmann was on the pitch for over an hour with Giroud and didn't complete one pass to him. It's just, they're just not connecting right. But I think Mbappe is going to have a field day against Belgium. Uruguay marshalled them very well, but it'll be more like the Argentinian game.
I couldn't agree more that, you know, those French players with all their flair running at this kind of solid Belgium defence is going to be a key area of the game, Jason, is it not?
I think Chadli's probably going to play the other side for Munir, and I think Carrasco will probably come back in. But again, Belgium, I thought they were lucky against Brazil. Courtois was man of the match. Again, the shot count was heavily in Brazil's favour. And I just think that Mbappe, like, he'll get the space that he got against Argentina against Belgium, and he will run right again.
So what's the bet then, Jason?
Yeah, for me, I think France, if you're going to back them, I think they'll do it in 90 minutes. I know it's a semi-final, but Belgium will concede goals. France are a bit shaky. I think Lloris has a mistake in him, as always. Hopefully it's in the semi-final rather than the final. So I think France, you can go over 2.5 goals at odds against at 11-10, or even both teams to score as well. Any of those bets.
You've completely deflated me.
What do you think, Bruce? That's the main thing.
I honestly still think, I thought it at the start and I think it now, that if Belgium stayed free of injuries and suspensions, they're the best 11. I still think that. I know they were slightly unlucky against Brazil, but against that, towards the end of the first half, I thought they were going to score again. They were breaking with menace. Yeah. I just think these three, De Bruyne, Hazard, Lukaku, are so dangerous, and I think they're beginning to click, they're beginning to read each other, and I am keeping the faith. Come on, you Belgium! Croatia, England next.
We're going money back mad here at Paddy Power. We're offering money back as a free bet on all losing goal scorer, what odds Paddy, and correct score bets on selected games. Check our app today for more information. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Okay, then, it's the big one, the game that will stop a nation, stop two nations indeed, Croatia versus England. Be interesting if you're an Englishman on holiday in Croatia, that's for sure. Takes place on Wednesday at the Luzhniki Stadium, 7 p.m. kickoff. Croatia versus England for a place in the World Cup final. Jason Murphy, how do Paddy Power bet on this one?
Yeah, so England will go off favourites at 13-10. You can get Croatia at 12-5 and the draw 21-10. To qualify for the final, you have England 8-13 or Croatia 5-4.
Okay, Mark, what is going to happen here? This really is an incredibly difficult game to call, isn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't be backing England 8-13 to qualify. I quite like the draw in 90 minutes. I think we spoke maybe about the first semi-final not being played out like a World Cup semi-final and two good attacking teams. I think this will be kind of the stereotypical, you know, huge game for both teams, not in terms of England, you know, a long time since they've been here. Croatia would be the biggest moment in their history as well. So I think it is going to be quite a low scoring and that brings the draw massively into play. I mean, I was looking at Croatia. For all that people have said, they've not played that well in their recent matches. It's still a difficult team to beat. You know, even going back to previous tournaments, I thought they were the best team at the last Euros until they went out very late on in extra time to Portugal. They beat Turkey, they beat Spain, that they drew with the Czechs. And then you go back to 2012, they drew with Italy, they beat Ireland, lost 1-0 to Spain. And you know, they are a team that's difficult to
beat.
Been
to semis before as well, haven't they?
Yeah, they did against France.
A lot more recently than England.
In 98, and you know, they had a good side in 96 as well at the Euros. I think they're slightly better than England in midfield with Modric and Rakitic. But the one area that I think Croatia could struggle is at the back. I'm not convinced by Lovren and Vida. And I think maybe that doesn't allow Croatia to be so attacking because they are worried about those two centre-halves.
They've been sitting Rakitic virtually next to them.
Yeah, they have. And when they play two in midfield, like they did against Russia, there's a disconnect between the forward players. There's too many gaps. When they play the three in midfield, which I think suits them better, then Mandzukic gets isolated up front. So it's a team that's not been put together perfectly, I think it's fair to say, but they're still a difficult team to put away. And you know, England are relying on set pieces and stuff like that. So I mean, I think it's a low-scoring game. The draw comes into play a big time for me. Interesting, Lovren against Harry Kane. Lovren referred to him as Mr. Touch on Instagram, if you remember, towards the end of the season when he was supporting Mo Salah for PFA Player of the Year in the Golden Boot. But Mr. Touch took Lovren off the pitch after 31 minutes at Wembley. He absolutely destroyed him. So that'll be an interesting one there. I don't think Harry Kane will have forgotten that. Low-scoring game. Maybe the games will catch up with Croatia in extra time or penalties, but draw 90 minutes.
Draw for you, Mark. Dan, what about you?
I'm hopeful for England. I'm not as delirious as Alan Shearer singing into a breadstick, but I'm quite
Chris
hopeful.
Waddle
crying into his mic. Yeah.
But no, I actually think that the match result markets, I'm looking at all of them, and the clearest, the nearest I was to following any of them was the draw. I thought the draw was, if I was going to back any side, would have been about right. I think England deserve to be favourites, but nothing more than they are. I think that after the group stage, Croatia would have probably done the best of any team in the tournament. They've kind of, although they've found their way through, their performance has been dipping, I think, in the knockout stages. And England has been steadily rising. I know the opposition hasn't been great, but you can only put away what's in front of you.
You'd have to say Sweden was the best they've done so far, wasn't it?
And even
a very
the
controlled
Colombia,
display,
I know that it was on a shootout, but apart from the first 15 minutes of extra time, it was a pretty decent England performance overall, in control of the game to a large extent. So I look at the England team and the players, there's a lot of individuals I think that are getting better as the tournament goes on. I'm thinking of the likes of Trippier, Stones, Henderson, I mean Maguire, I mean there's lots of players, Pickford, that seem to be growing and getting better as the tournament goes on, and that's really, really positive for England. But I, because of the match result market being, I think, exactly right, I'm looking at a few first scorer tips. I'm going to straddle the fence, and I've got an Englishman and a Croatian. I think Perisic, I've liked for a while. I think because he plays kind of the wide side of their attack, I think he's more likely to maybe get in behind that England back three. I think could cause problems. I'm thinking Januzaj. I know it was against England reserve side, but he got that bit of space, scored his goal, didn't he, from a similar position. And he's their second top scorer in their squad. He's 9-1 to score the first goal. I just think that's a little bit overpriced. And I've gone for the England team. I'm looking at the centre-halves. Maguire and Stones are both 25-1 at set pieces. But I've gone even bigger than that. Trippier, I mean, he's taking pretty much all of the England free kicks. He's taken a couple of good ones as well. The trajectory's right. And I just wonder, you know, one of them might go in quite soon. He's 55-1 to score the first goal.
I
just think it's not one you can say, oh, it's going to happen. But
it's worth
price,
five, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's worth taking on. So Perisic 9-1, Trippier 55-1.
OK, I wonder what Jason's going to do. Either he's going to absolutely dismantle England and point out how lucky we've been, or...
Can I ask him a question?
Of course you can.
Yeah. I just wanted to know if he thinks the global market will keep the prices sort of, you know, solid and as they are, or whether there is going to be this swell towards England.
What do you reckon, Jason? Which way can you see the market moving?
Yeah, I think England are a bit of short because of the liabilities that are being racked up. I mean, if it does come home for England, then, you know, there's not going to be many bookies left with homes the way it's going. But I think Croatia team news is going to be massive, because if you look that last 30 minutes extra time against Russia, like, they were dropping like flies.
Well, I'm not sure about the keeper. That looked like one of those injuries that could, you might be able
and
to play on when
big,
your body's
big player won. For him as well, Subasic, especially if
absolutely
it goes to a shootout, he looked almost unbeatable against Denmark.
Yeah, I that could be one of those ones where when he's cooled down, that turns out to be, you know, pretty damaging. Who else do you think is a big one to watch out for when the teams come out, Jason?
Yeah, well, like, even Mandzukic Djukic there, there was players trying to come off the pitch and the managers wouldn't let them off either. I think that could, again, just, this is this the run that England are getting, the real rub of the green. You know, Rodriguez was a massive loss for Colombia as well. But in fairness, look, you make your own luck too. Like, Pickford had a great game in the quarterfinals, was man the match. Croatia, this Croatian team as well, I'm not fully convinced by. They changed their manager with their last game in qualifying and got a great result in Ukraine. They were good in the playoffs then against Greece. But the result against Argentina, which seems to be what's in people's minds, that was a very bad Argentinian side, and it was a mistake from Willy Caballero as well that kind of helped decide that match too. Now, we talked about Croatian mentality, about them being weak, but in fairness to them, they're the second team in World Cup history to come back from a goal down in two successive knockout games. So there is something there with that. I think Croatia, looking at the prices at 5-4 to qualify, is what I would go for. I would back up what the lads are saying, like the introduction of VAR when it comes to set pieces, defenders aren't as grabby as what they would be, and the likes of Maguire and Stones, I think, are worth a bet at 25-1 for the first goal. And also then Perisic or Rebic as well, maybe getting in behind. And with VAR, we're seeing an increase in penalties as well. So Modric or Luka Modric is there at 5-1 anytime too. But for me, it is going to be the tighter semi-final. I am saying Croatia to qualify, but I can see it going all the way to penalties. And interestingly, normally the team that goes first in the penalty shootout wins 60% of the time. But if you look at the four penalty shootouts that we've seen in this competition so far, it's the second team that's gone through.
Wow.
But I think if Subasic is on the pitch, if it does go to a penalty shootout, it could be more penalty shootout heartache for England.
Where are we all going to watch it? Jason, where are you going to watch it?
I'm actually off for it, actually, so I'm looking forward to that.
Down the pub or at home?
I'll probably just chill out at home. There won't be too many Irish running out to watch it anyways.
What's the atmosphere like in the pubs if you go to for an England game? Everyone with their, you know, face paints and their wigs on? Croatia colours.
Like I said, it's a touch of jealousy. Like, the Euros are great and we had a great time with Ireland the last time, but we haven't been in the World Cup since 2002, and I still remember being in the pub watching with the father. We went out on penalties to Spain. So it is just jealousy. I mean, best of luck to you and enjoy it.
You're a sport, Jason. What about you, Mark? Where are you going to be?
I think I'm probably going to watch it at home because I'm childcare Wednesdays and I don't think there's going to be enough time for the wife to come over and me to get where I would like to be. And I'm working on Sunday as well. So
don't get ahead of yourself.
I did love, was it a tweet or on Facebook? I saw it somewhere that said the whole country hasn't been this united since everyone wanted Liverpool to lose the Champions League final. I thought was quite a nice line. But.
And what about you, Dan?
No, I'll be at home with Joseph. He'll be staying up late. And even me, my wife is getting into it now. She was into the Sweden game a lot more than the previous one.
You just get the old silly questions then. What's he doing? Where's he going?
What I don't understand, though, is like these people could have this every Saturday. Like, the ones that are tagging on. Like, if you support a team, you have these emotional roller coasters every week. I don't know why you'd only want it every four years.
No, that's a very good shout. Now then, we won't do naps because there's only two games. What we'll try and do is come up with a nice combination bet, and the Paddy Power guys have said they'll enhance it and put it up in the shop. So let's try and think of something, a double that straddles both games. Does any have any objections to me starting the ball rolling with both teams to score in France-Belgium? Because I thought Langer made a good case there. Are you happy with that, Dan?
Yeah, I'm more than happy with that, yeah.
Jason, should we go with BTTS in the first one?
Yeah, I'd say you could even tag on France to win in 90 minutes with that, France and both teams to score.
Yeah, okay, let's do that. So so the first leg is France and both teams to score. Now the second leg, I know we all think it's going to be a lot tighter, but I've heard the same names crop up for scorers here. In Perisic and the centre back. So what about if we do? Can we get a price maybe on? We don't want to do Perisic because that's anti-England. Why don't we do two doubles? One is France with, or no? Hang on a sec. Can this work, Jason? If we get a price for Stones or Maguire to score at any time?
Yeah, absolutely. We can have a look at that, and France have both teams to score then. We can get that.
Happy with that, lads?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what we're giving you is, in the first semi-final, France and both teams to score in a double with either Stones or Maguire to score in the second semi. Do your best for us, lads in Paddy Power. Give us a nice enhanced price. and hopefully we've got something to make a few quid out of. Okay, chaps, well done. Thank you very much indeed. Good luck with the tips, good luck with the bets, and good luck with the semi. It's going to be absolutely astonishing. Cannot wait. We're back on Thursday to look ahead to the final, and we'll also look back on our highlights of the tournament, so please do join us for that. Also, stay tuned for our racing postcast, in which Maddie and the gang will look back on the Eclipse and ahead to three fantastic days of action on the July course at Newmarket. Don't forget, if you do enjoy the shows, please do leave some nice comments for us on SoundCloud, iTunes and YouTube. Until next time, goodbye.
We're going money back mad here at Paddy Power. We're offering money back as a free bet on all losing goal scorer, what odds Paddy and correct score bets on selected games. Check our app today for more information. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Begambleaware.org.